has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. True Jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original line. Last verse. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will awake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentile days soon be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God. The original line, the original line, the original sea, the original word, is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seven seals is unveiled.
The original life, 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 the original energy. Our great desire, Lord, is to be able to live that which we believe. For you to give us the strength, the courage, the spiritual might, that we might master ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions, Lord, is all controlled by our thinking, by judging what will affect us and what will not affect us. For we know that there is a time to weep and there is a time to rejoice. There's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. There's a time, O God, to comfort. And we know there's a time that we ourselves would need comforting. We ask that you give us these emotions and our expressions. Give us the right balance, O God. We are realizing this morning that in South Africa there are many who have lost their loved ones. Church have lost great pillars. But we know, Father, that this great drama, everyone has a role. And sometimes we play our roles off, as you taught us so well, that you can raise a man up just to have him act for 10 minutes. And Lord, just like any great drama, certain characters die off the scene. But their impact, how they impact the story, how they impact, Lord, the meaning and their contribution towards the overall drama, Lord, without them it will not be the same. We realize we have our part to play here. And our roles will come to an end. But knowing, Lord, that some remain to the end of the drama. And we pray for those who have been called to live out to the end of the drama. And then, for when all names will be revealed, Lord, who acted as who. And we see all the credits being placed up there in the great judgment seat of Christ. The great Academy Award for our acting, for our roles that we play, true to our character, true to the script. We know that this is what it's all about, Father. We ask your mercies upon us as we play our part this morning and henceforth, remembering also the church in Trinidad, in Namibia, and the different places, Ghana, Brother Gerald, give him much grace, Father. help him, let him know he's not alone, and prepare for our hearts that we can meet him, fellowship with him. Let him know we care about him. As we look to you now, Father, remembering them that are on their Thanksgiving holidays, making memories with their family, resting, de-stressing, that you grant them much favor. And we who are guarded here, Lord, bless our efforts. Without thee, we can do nothing, but what with thee, we can do all things. Commit it all in your great hands now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I'd like to invite you to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, starting with the 16th verse. I'd really like to start from the 15th verse, if you don't mind. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Amen. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. If Brother Elliot will help me with that board, or Brother Art, or Brother. Amen. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I had an opportunity to spend some time away with the family. And just remember, life is made up of a kaleidoscope of memories. That's all it is. It's when you look back in your life, you can only remember it by those moments that define what you consider to be important and what you prioritize. If your memory consists about your achievements, well, then that's really where your priority is. But if your priorities consist about having a family who love you and love the Lord, and love the Lord and love you, really, and will serve the Lord and reflect the roles that they are given to play as a Christian husband, Christian wife, a Christian man, Christian woman, then I guess you have something to be happy about. We'll never be satisfied completely with our Christian walk because imperfection dwells within us. And within us is a strive for perfection, that gene. And there's always a taking of the land. There's always more land to take. And we will never stop taking land until our body change. Amen. But the main thing is that you don't give up. You are going to fall and you are going to disappoint yourself and others. But you could never disappoint God because he knows that we're made of dust. And he makes provisions for us to get up and rise again. And it's not who can get there. Many a times you're looking for the man who walked the perfect road, but that's not the man who learned anything at all. But it's the man who have learned along the way that he can do nothing without grace.
Amen.
And he gets up and trusts the Lord again. We need priorities in our life. And you need to have godly priorities. What is really important to us? There are many things that we are called to do. But what causes our problems, our sufferings, our troubles is having these things out of balance. You be a good husband, but if you want to be the best husband and don't want to be a good employee, then something is going to suffer. You're going to be the best husband, but your wife is going to starve to death. You can say, I don't want any material thing of the world. I just want to serve the Lord. Then you'll run around naked with clothes that cannot really save you from the weather or the climate. You have to have balance. That's the most important thing. If you're born again, that's what you strive for, balance. And balancing the things that are necessary and needful. compared to the things that you want or have ambition to achieve. Those are the things that you must strive for, and in so striving, you bring peace in your life, and you bring the blessings of the Lord. Most of our troubles and suffering is caused by ourselves, our wants, and reaching for things that are not in the perfect will of God for us. It might be the perfect will of God for one believer here to achieve great things materially, but it's not the will of God for every believer. It's not the will of God for every believer to live under the poverty level. But then there's some. And you can't be jealous. So you can't look at one another. Anytime you start to look at one another and who is deserving and who is not deserving, you take God out of the picture, and jealousy, carnality, envy comes into the picture. But a man could do nothing without God. Even a wicked man. Even a wicked man. God gives the same rainfalls on the just and the unjust. They're all endowed with certain abilities that come from God. And so when we start looking outside of the program of God, then that's where these things happen. You must see that God permits a man to be where he is, blesses a man, and gives a man to achieve. Whether he is good or bad, evil or wicked, it just has nothing, because all things are of God. He permits all things, you see. And once you know that, once you can relate to that, then you see the human envy, the human, jealousy, strive, lusting for things that are not ordained for you. And then you become satisfied and say, the Lord give it. Whatever He gives, the Lord give it. All right? And whatever the Lord takes away, good or bad, the Lord takes it away. You know, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see? So as long as you believe that human, by their own hard work and effort, or by some endowment given by humans, one human given a left leaving an inheritance, one human giving one man blessing, one man not, then who are we going to give credit to? Bill Gates for being a billionaire. Who are you going to give credit for? All things are of God. If God didn't want permit him to come to that place, he never would. Everybody has a role to play. This is God's great drama. Every role. There's a lot of extras that are in this movie. There's a lot of extras that people just make up to make it reality. In this movie, there is excitement. In this movie, there is temptation. In this movie, there is lust. In this movie, there is integrity. There is lukewarmness. There's different characters to play different roles. Each person play their role that they ordained to play. Satan has to play his. See, and God is in directing this whole thing. And sometimes, like in the day in South Africa, you have great leaders, great elders, and tragedy strikes. Well, tragedy is part of the drama. It's in the drama. Just like excitement is in the drama. And some characters have to be killed off. And how they are taken off the scene in the drama is what excites or sorrows. Because without the drama, you'll never know you care for certain people. Without sorrows, without caring, there will be no sorrow. Without loving, there will be no missing. There will be no tears. There will be no reality to bring these emotions out in you and I. So be prepared. You're going to lose the ones that you love the most. But your grieving and your sorrow is the very evidence they meant something to you. Their part of the drama affected you. Their character affected you. The things they do. And if you don't see it that way, then you're going to grieve as them that have no hope. Because one day when the drama is over, all the actors will be gathered backstage. Like some of them already played their part, they're backstage in another place. You don't see them anymore because they'll just kill the effect of the show. Amen. But we'll be gathered one day and there will be credits given. And there will be a judging of those characters, God's Great Academy Award. And if you don't take life like that and play your role and act close to the script that God has given you for the message of the hour, then you're not putting all the effort in to be the best actor of the role that you're called to play. You didn't pick your gender to be a Christian man or Christian woman. He chose your gender. Be the best Christian woman. He asked you to play the role of husband. Well, play the best husband role you can. Remembering your wife is going to be used to provoke you to see if you're going to play that role properly. If you're going to come out of a character. If you're going to come out of the script that you ought to be acting. And this is what? It's all a test to see whether or not you can stay in character. Plenty in probation, in probs. You have to, somebody's going to come and say something and then you just have to react. How are you going to react? How are you going to act within it? You've got to know the character. You've got to know. So you, even when you don't know the lines, you could still be in character. See? So this is what life is all about. Your mom and dad is not your real mom and dad. Your children is not your real children. It's all part of the act. At the end of it, there will be no children. Amen. There will be no mommy, daddy. They're not yours. They're set in motion. You come in. This saga has been going on for 6,000 years, by the way. This is like a continuing soap opera. Amen. We are in the last end of it. Amen. And you've got to take life like that. You've got to see that you have a part to play. And you play it well. Do all that you can. We'll call this one a holy opera. Anybody know why they call it soap opera? It was in a time that the women would do their dishes and stuff like that. See, that was for the housewives. While they're home. At least they used to be at home. You know. Okay. With the soap operas come the TV dinners and everything else. Amen. I want to talk today about an example. Take a nation. Represents nations. Could take one nation and it can tell you what's going on in all the nations. It's the same spirit that's in the world. It's not a different spirit. And so you have a nation. And in this nation you have mixed multitudes. And when I talk about mixed multitudes, I'm not talking about people with different religion. I'm talking about different species. Like when we talk about choosing of a bride, we're not talking about choosing among women. We're talking about choosing among different kinds of women, different species of women. So choosing of a bride is about different species. You say, what species? What kind? The human kind? The serpent kind? And the Zoe kind? That's the mixed species. That's the mixed multitude that came out with Moses. You move from your mixed multitude into twins. And here, on the mixed multitude, you have three kinds of believers. But with the twins, you only have two kinds. And that's the children of obedience and the children of disobedience. The children of obedience, children of disobedience, or Rambam said the children of rebellion. And he calls it like Cain. So you move from mixed multitude that had three kinds, the twins, which are two kinds, and then from twins, you move into Antichrist. Antichrists, plural, not singular. When you have mixed multitude, twins, and Antichrist, at the end of the Antichrist, you have one final stage, and that's called the false vine. You cannot call them false vine until they've come through these stages. Until they've come through these stages. Now, this, what I want to show you is this is happening in every nation, but God didn't reveal that to me in every nation. He used just one, and that's the nation of Trinidad. I wondered why it is that I the response is like that. What is it? It is God teaching me, God showing me by the reactions. And this is where this developed. If this had not happened, I would never come to these conclusions. To look at it, to show me that there are stages. Mixed multitude. In a mixed multitude, there is no differences. Because the mixed multitude is focused as one people, even though they are not, under the same prophet. And that is under the same message and same anointing. And their enemy is not within. Their many enemy is without. And their enemy is Egypt, the world, and denomination. That's when we came out of the message. You can notice when we came out of the message between 1970 and between 1965, 66, and all the way down to around 1980, everybody was one. And what were we preaching? Denomination is of the devil. Denomination is the devil. Denomination is curse. Denomination is the harlot. Denomination is the daughters. Denomination have the Antichrist. Denomination is the false vine. Denomination is the false seed. Denomination is the man of sin. Denomination is the World Council of Churches. Everything is denomination of nothing about within us. Amen. We are the true church. So under denomination, under mixed multitude, every one of us is the true vine. Denomination and the system is false. Everything that is outside of a prophet is false. Everything outside of a prophet is deceived. And that's mixed multitudes. That's denomination. So this here is mixed multitudes. They don't identify with denomination. They identify with a prophet. Okay? Now, then after this stage now, you move now from mixed multitude to looking into the doctrines. You're looking into the teaching. And as you begin to look into the doctrines and the teaching, out of the doctrine and teaching comes twins. Because now you have diverse doctrines. But it's from the same message, same quotes, same book, same prophet, and they're not denomination anymore. They are all claiming to be in the message. So nobody is in denomination. So here you have two different teaching, but they are not in denomination. So there's twins. It's from the same mother. Same mother church. Message of the hour. That's where we all boot it from, one way or the other. But different fathers. So you have different doctrines, and they are called twins, two different children, children of obedience and children of disobedience. And the only way to tell the two, you can't even tell you're the two, because the teaching, you cannot prove it. You cannot prove it. You can't prove your Godhead is true. Are you going to prove it? You're using the same quotes they're using. Amen. All right? And they are perverting the same Bible you are preaching. How can you prove it? And God will not vindicate it. God will not come down in a pillar and fire and say, Brother Tony is right or Brother Tony is wrong. Because God wants the separation. Some of you say, oh, God wants all us in the message in Colombia to live in peace, to fellowship with one another, love one another. Okay, why didn't he do that for Cain and Abel? Amen. Let them love one another. It is his revelation that caused Abel to God kill. Because he sovereignly gave the revelation to Abel and refused to give it to Cain. And he made Cain an apostle. He made Abel an apostle. You say, how can you say that, Brother Tony? Because God told him, I'm not going to give you the revelation. I already gave it to my prophet. I already gave it to... If you want it now, you go and talk to him. I'm not giving it to you. You go do as your brother do. In other words, follow how he set his church up, his revelation. You follow him. Do as your brother and you'll be accepted. Amen. But he's not going to tell him it again. He already gave the word already. Amen. So God, the teaching is not... He's not going to come down and say who's right and who's wrong. He's not going to come down in a pillar of fire and distinguish between Brother Branham and the rest of them have no pillar of fire. Moses have pillar of fire, the rest of them have no pillar of fire. He's not going to do that. He wants the separation. He wants to separate his seed from the other seed. And that is why he distinguished Abel by giving him the revelation to separate him from Cain, even though he knew Cain was going to kill Abel, because that was going to be a part of the drama that will play out in every age, that the false vine is going to kill the true vine in any time it gets an opportunity. And to prove it, he says, with these two revelations, one revelation from Cain, one revelation from Abel, two different teachings, he says, out of that, I am going to show you how to identify the serpent seed. He said, I am going to put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. In other words, you could never be friends with them. They will never be friends with, their app is to kill you. So if God put enmity between the serpent seed and the woman seed, I ask you the question, can we all be one? No. Denomination don't want to kill me. Baptists don't want to kill me. They even know I'm alive. Methodists don't want to kill me. Pentecostals don't want to kill me. A pastor who just, in Guyana, who just got a hold of this message, Brother Kumal, who believes... He just wrote me a note yesterday. He said, Brother Tony, he said, the other churches in the message here are saying that you've got two wives now. What is it when they can't kill you, your doctrine, they try to kill your influence? You see? And my wife heard that and she said, tell them that if it was another wife, I would have already killed her. My woman don't play with her property. No siree. He said, I don't care what they say, what they do. It just means we struck a nerve. And the enemy is reacting in whatever carnal, unconverted way they can. Brother in Barbados, Brother Joel said, Brother Tony, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to react? I said, we just keep on doing what we're doing. It seems like it's working. Amen. But you can't help it. The enmity must be there. Now remember, Cain, I'm going to just do this stages for you. Cain and Abel was under the same house. They did not know any. There was no difference between Cain and Abel. They loved one another. They played cricket together, football together, went fishing together, amen, prayed together. They loved their mama church together. And even Cain one time loved Adam at one time. Amen. Oh, Daddy, you're so good providing all this stuff for me. They all adored their prophet father. Adam was a prophet. Isn't that right? They all ate from the prophet Adam's table. I can't hear you. And they all honored the prophet church, the mother. And then at the end of it all, when they came of age, what had made the difference? It was the season when God was going to send another message. A revelation came to Abel. And God did not give Cain because God don't have to feed the other man's children. Amen. That's why you've got to be careful about love one another. God loved Cain so much, why didn't he give him the revelation? And if love, when love projects, grace takes over, well then grace should have taken Cain's life. You say, well, he's a wrong seed. Well, God can change anything. Is all things possible? See, all this love, you've got to be careful with those love scriptures. You've got to bring them down to the elect of God and loving your neighbor, loving mankind. Right? You have different kinds of enemies. But there's an enemy that is placed there to be God's enemy. And guess what? The God of love is going to destroy him in the lake of fire.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, they don't want that kind of gospel out there. No, not even in the message you want that kind of gospel out there. My God wouldn't do that. My God genocides and ask your people to genocide an entire Philistine race.
Yes, amen. Exactly.
See, who's the first genocide? Every plant my Heavenly Father has not planted will be plucked up by the root and cast into the fire.
Amen.
Why didn't you ask him to love that? It's a beyond the human mind. Without serpent seed, you'll never be able to understand that. How God can love something that is not of his own nature, not of his own creation, not of his own imagination. How can you cause him to love that? I can't hear you.
Amen.
How can you cause him to love a mule? How can he have a love for a mule but it was never in his mind? Has no affinity with it.
Amen.
He's obligated to his creation. The mule is not his creation.
Amen.
I can't hear you, friends.
That's right.
He's obligated to his own.
Right.
His own creation, whose name is in the book. If it's in the name of the book, he's obligated to it.
Amen.
But if it's not written nowhere in the book, well, what is he going to do about it? How can you ask him to love something that is against his nature, was never in his thinking, was not part of his imagination?
Amen.
He cannot do it. He's Zoe. He cannot do it. And you got Zoe. Do you think you could do it?
No.
How can you do it?
Can't do it.
Let me love what God loves and let me hate what God hates. Let me help all that God will help and let me fight against all that God will fight against.
Amen.
Lest I find myself working against God.
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
That's the wisdom of it all.
Yeah.
Got to be careful of it. I've heard it over and over and over. You've got to have a balance in those scriptures. And ask the hard questions. God loved everybody. Why doesn't he not save Lucifer? And he said, well, Lucifer has a work to do. Well, and of the work, why doesn't he save him?
Amen.
Hmm? All right. So that takes the lovey-dovey out of it. Love by revelation. All right. Follow again. Let's look at Cain. Did not Cain and Abel with a mixed multitude?
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
Mixed multitude. So let's look at some types in the garden. Let's look at some mixed multitude in the garden. You don't mind, do you? Adam is a representation of the true bride, cannot be deceived. Eve is a representation of the foolish virgin that can be deceived.
Amen. Amen.
The serpent is a representation of a species, a special creation. Looks just like Adam. He's a type of the impersonator of the true church.
Amen.
The true Adam.
Yes, sir.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
Yes, amen. The product they produced is a hybrid religion with a hybrid seed called Cain.
Uh-huh.
He is different from, he's a different species from his father.
Yeah. Amen.
And Abel represents Adam in a fallen condition, but have representation in him because he's a son of God.
Amen.
Tell me if that's not a mixed multitude.
Amen.
Did they not all start off as mixed multitude? Did not Eve manifest herself that she can be deceived? Did not Adam manifest himself? He cannot be deceived.
Yes.
The Bible says Adam was not deceived.
Amen.
Did Adam not have the right kind of salvation and love?
Yes.
Because Adam knowingly went to see if he can save her.
Yes.
Look at the mixed multitude in the garden. Look at the types in the garden. Did not Abel give his life for his faith? Did not Abel represent the true vine?
Amen.
Did not Cain represent the false vine?
Amen.
Did not the true vine try to kill the false vine? Did not Cain at one time represent himself as the true church?
Yes.
And he tried to kill Abel because he thought he was doing God a service?
Amen.
The Bible says there will come a day when they will kill you thinking they're doing God a service.
Amen.
That God is pleased in what they're doing. So they started off as a mixed multitude, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then God gave a revelation, which came about as a teaching. So they had two teaching now, Cain teaching and Abel teaching. One going left and one. Is there not you? Is that not true?
Amen.
Did they not separate?
Yeah.
And the two teachings separated them.
Amen.
And what did the Bible say? It said, and Cain was angry. And his countenance.
Yes,
amen. Now, so they separated. Their two teachings separated them. That's called the twins. And did not eventually Cain kill Abel?
Amen.
Is that right? Did he not become Antichrist?
Amen.
So he went through those stages.
Amen.
In the belly of Eve were twins in the nations.
Amen.
She brought forth multitudes. She brought forth two different species.
Amen.
And then she was appointed another seed.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, I hope you can catch what I'm saying.
Yes.
All right, now, so you find you have out of the nations, you have these multitudes coming out. And then from there, they became twins. And from their twins, they became Antichrist. And from Antichrist, you can now say that it's a false vine. Amen. It came through all the attributes. You see Cain and Abel, you think that pattern will ever change? That's the pattern that's right now in the message. Except that we, at one time we were in this stage and we loved when everybody was one. We hate now that it's a separation. All this separation, all this teaching doctrine, why don't you just love one another? I guess for love's sake, Abel should say, you know, I might be wrong. Let's go to Cain's church and worship. After all, God rather love one another than stand up and fight against one another. That's the thinking of the religious unconverted in the message.
Amen.
That we are all one, Balaam kind of thing. You say, but Tony, but isn't that divisive? You talk to God about divisive.
Amen.
Isn't that separating? Brotherhood. You talk to God, Brother Branham tried to unite them in denomination. If he couldn't do it, you think you can't? If you're going to unite together, it has to be under one head.
Amen.
And our heads are different.
Amen.
Then there was the Antichrist. So now I'd like to take this, what we've learned, and I'd like to put it back into the prophet's quotes. These are the concept. Let's look at the quotes. All right? So let's go to, I've got a note there that is marked in my desktop, true vine, I think false vine. I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if Russia had accepted the Pentecostal blessing 75 years ago when the Holy Ghost fell in Russia, they wouldn't have been communists today. There is a cost for rejecting the grace of God.
Amen.
There's a cost. Now, Russia did not become a religious nation after rejected. They became atheists. And Brother Branham says, an atheist is not Antichrist because an atheist has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with the Christian religion. So it cannot be Antichrist. When you talk about Christ, you're talking about the anointed messenger, message, and word. And they don't believe in any God, so they can't believe in any Christ, whether true or false.
Amen.
I can't hear you. So now, 75 years ago, they had a great revival in Russia. God come among them, and they had great revivals way into Siberia. And what did they do? They rejected it. And today, the country is gone, and the churches can't have church, only under permission, and they are doomed into judgment. Has gone off in this wild tantrum of communism, sold out to the devil. 50 years ago now, he's bringing you down from Russia, down to England. Watch carefully. 50 years ago, the Holy Ghost fell in England, just after that. After that comes George Jeffreys. If you could read up on George Jeffreys, quite good, very good. F.F. Bosworth. Well, where did F.F. Bosworth come? Anybody know? Alexander Dowie. So he represents Alexander Dowie. Charles Price. Remember when we did investments? I showed you Charles Price. Who prophesied? Who did Charles Price prophesy over? Shakarian. And he also, Dima Shakarian, who started the chapter of the businessman. Two of them prophesied. I think it might be Price. Yeah, it might be Price. Price prophesied. It's been a while, but yes, Price, he did. And then there were some people from the Mormons also prophesied. A prophecy was written that Brother Branham will come. His name is written in a Mormon book of prophets to come. Yeah. Yep. Read it. You go back to my investment message. Those quotes are in there. Okay. Then Smith Wigglesworth. Who did Smith Wigglesworth prophesy over? David Duplessis. That he would rise up and be a great man. And who did Charles Price prophesy? Brother Branham to come. And Dima Shakarian. That he will open up a child. That he will end up. He saw himself and the world under him. And all these people all over the world. And he was, see, so what was he? He made a businessman chapter. Those great warriors of faith 50 years ago. Now, I want you to listen. And offered offered England the Holy Ghost revival. But what did they do? They laughed at them, put them in jail, called them crazy, told they had lost their minds. The churches refused to the people to come near them, to come hear them. Okay, now this is... Notice then the same time that the nominal church is the church that is not converted, they are not the seed of God, was having their revival. Two things. When the nominal church was having their revival, what taken place? The full gospel was having a revival. Two revivals happening at the same time. The people in the message, the twins in the message, like we are having a revival on our true and living God, but they also having their own revivals. From the same message. Because every revival produces twins. And it goes on to say here now. There come forth Bosworth brothers, Smith Wigglesworth, Dr. Price, Amy McPherson, and all those. Look, Smith Wigglesworth died one night. Dr. Price died the next morning. Within 24 hours, I was on the field. Now my end's coming down. You see what he's doing? He's taking the key figures of the age you're living in and showing you when that goes out, something is coming in. But if it comes in, it's going to bring on both sides, the nominal message people and the born-again message group. Yeah. Both of them are going to be affected in some way. Yes, watch again. Dr. Price died next morning. Within 24 hours, I was in the field. Now, my end is coming. Look it. You don't hear much of Billy Graham. You don't hear much of Oral Roberts. Remember, I'm going to show you one thing in a minute. I see my meeting shadowing. What's the matter? We're at the end. Another age. How did Billy Sunday come in and them? They come in just after the great Moody revival. When did Moody come in? Just after Knox revival. When did Knox come in? After Finney revival. Finney after Calvin. Calvin and Wesley. And Wesley and Luther. And all down today, as soon as one revival over, God raises up another, throws more light, just keeps moving like that. So it has to do with light and darkness. Amen. Now I want to stop right there. I want to say this. I want you to notice, in our day, in the last 5 years, Billy Graham died. Oral Roberts. Lonnie Jenkins. Okay. Oral Roberts is gone. Lonnie Jenkins is gone. Brother Lee Vail is gone. Brother Joseph Coleman is gone. Brother... what's this guy's name? I know I was going to write it down, but I practice to keep my memory going. Lonnie Jenkins is gone. You could tell it's going, right? Lonnie Jenkins is gone. Eddie Biscoll, Joseph Coleman is gone. Junior Jackson is gone. Paul Jones is gone. All the major men that influence doctrine. What did Paul Jones influence? Two souls. What did Brother Coleman influence? Thunders. What did Brother Vail propagated? He propagated parousia or presence. What did Lonnie Jenkins do? He was the advocate teacher of the message. I really don't put Lonnie in there, but I'm putting it because you could see what happened. See what is happening. What did Junior Jackson propagate? Prophecy. 7-year trib. Each one of these men, except for Jenkins, each one of them were apostles in their own order. Out of Paul Jones' teaching comes many churches that are patterned after his teaching. Out of Brother Joseph Coleman have churches all over the world that are thunder followers. What are they? You see, these men, what did Brother Vail, his teaching on presence do? It transformed the message world and set up churches that have been set in order by Brother Vail based on these doctrines. Same thing with Junior Jackson. If you go to South America, you go anywhere, you'll find Junior Jackson groups. What were these men? You see, they did not know the power. They did not know effectively that they were apostles. Apostles are setter of doctrinal order. And when these men were catching things, even whether they were right or wrong, when they were catching these things, they were catching it in a level that regular pastors and teachers couldn't catch. And they were bringing, and pastors and ministers were looking at that gift and saying, my, there's something about that, something. But they didn't know to call it apostles. And since, I'll give you one example, Joseph Coleman. Anywhere in the world you go, you're going to find a Coleman group. I went to Madagascar, the sixth poorest country in the world. It is almost 5 or 6 hours further than Africa. And guess what I found there? A Coleman church. And as they begin to sing, just like New York, and as you begin to preach, they still come up to the point, and you have to say, you may be seated. Everything like Coleman, everything like New York. You see, the problem was that they did not know what apostles were and what apostles were supposed to do. Apostles were not supposed to reproduce churches. Apostles were supposed to reproduce doctrines in those pastors. We don't want to make little Eagle Faith tabernacles all over the world. We want these doctrines to reproduce, and we don't want them to worship like us. We don't want them to preach like us or teach like us. We want them to teach in the gift and measure God give every man.
Amen.
We want to reproduce the doctrines. And if you don't reproduce a doctrine and we reproduce ourselves, then we become violators of the first commandment. We become violators of that first commandment. Because God wants a people for himself of every tongue and every nation. Not we want a people for ourselves. They must have their own tongue, their own nations. They must have their own peculiarity to that nation.
Amen.
Like the white flower, the red flower, the yellow flower. He wants the diversity. He wants them worshiping in their own spirit, in their own uniqueness that he made them. Like Brother Bam said, a black man can worship, he can worship with a white man he can't even reach.
Amen.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, I can't make you all Trinidadians.
Amen.
Amen. If you're black, you sing like the black. If you got a gift and you like to make a crossover. But I'll tell you what, old John Homer's song is really funny, singing a black song, Old Moses. You know what I mean? So these men were really apostles, but they didn't. There was nobody to teach them of how to do it.
Amen.
It wasn't their season. They didn't know.
Amen.
And instead of reproducing the doctrines that they hold true, whether right or wrong, they reproduce themselves and their churches, which is wrong. Now the Brother Vale group, like Brother Reginald will tell you, Brother Vale was not for that. He saw himself just as a teacher, and he told them, they wanted to make him the teacher. He said, no. He said, no, that would be wrong. That would be Antichrist. So he had the concept. And the churches that were set up under his concepts, really, he was the apostle to them, but they didn't know. And today, they still look to Brother Vale for the apostolic order of doctrines and teaching to continue. These were great men in their own ranks. Whether they're right or wrong, I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just trying to show you the concept of what it was. They didn't know. Follow again. So what I want to tell you is, from the minute this class died out, there was something on the field. You say, I was on the field within 24 hours. Now, what are these men? Lonnie Jenkins, Brother Coleman, Brother Veal, and the others that passed away. What has happened within the last 2 to 3 years in this message? In the last 2 to 3 years in this message, these men passing away, together with the rise, watch carefully, with Brother Collins' grandson. With the rise of Jeff Jenkins leaving the message, and now watering down, liquefying the very things that we believe to be dear, and asking the question, who gave Brother Branham the rights to say that Paul was a prophet? You know where he's getting that quote from? Believe the sign. Believe the sign. Now, believe the sign. The man who started it used to fellowship with Eddie Biscoe. I can't hear you. The Collins grandson fellowship at Branham Tabernacle. Jeff Jenkins is pastor of Bible, whatever the name of the church is, I can't remember what it is. All of these are from the, they are not outside people, they are inside people now becoming antichrist. Fighting against the message and the messenger. So with these men passing away is the rise of antichrist. To kill the influence of Brother Branham, kill the influence of his message, kill the influence of, as he's a prophet of the age, and asking the question, for making a false prophet. Amen. You catch where I'm going, friends? And with their rise, all of a sudden within, these same doctrines that have been propagated here for the last 20 years, that nobody wants, that scoffed at, nobody wanted it, they're afraid to have it. The very same doctrines now are being called for by churches and by pastors and by local brethren and who listen, who somehow get a hold of these tapes. And now they are calling for this. The rise of the Antichrist is the rise also of the bride. The bride is, because to be Antichrist, you have to be against something, and we are the Christ of the hour. We are the anointed Messiah. So for them to be false anointed ones or antichrist plural, we have to have Christ plural. Amen. It's a turning of the corner. Something is happening in the message community now. Amen. In the message world now. What is it? It's the rise of the antichrist. Not twins. Doctrines have already been seeded. There are no more doctrines that come forth in different ways. It's the same old false doctrine. Brother Branham didn't finish ministry. Brother Branham is going to come back and build a tent. Brother Branham is going to come and preach the third pole. Brother Branham, Joseph is the prophet. Joseph is the next prophet. You got to come to Joseph. Polygamy, two soul, seven thunder, seven virtue. All the doctrines have been seeded. 1962 was the coming of the Lord. God himself incarnates and dwells in you. Jesus, the Son of God, is God himself. Very God. Baal worship, Baal altar, another gospel. All of that has already been sown. Now they have moved from twins. We have moved from twins now to fight against the truth and them that carry the truth. Now it's antichrist. It's in this stage here now we are. And once you come in this stage and they begin to kill your influence, kill the effect of this message and ministry, whoever is propagating these truths, they are antichrist, and now you can say that's the false vine, right, tangled up in the same message. So from a mixed multitude, we can go back now by watching these things happen and go back and identify the false vine in a mixed multitude of the same message. See how they come off the scene? That's how it works. Can I read some of the qualities of the false vine for us? All right, let's read it. False anointed one. The true vine and the false vine both had the same anointing. Are you anointed? Am I anointed? Are we anointed? Yeah, we have the same anointing. Anointing means power in control, and it cannot be outside of the word. Amen. You say, well, what about Pentecost? That's anointing of a promise given to them. Right. But the anointing that is for today is under this message. Yeah. This is the, so that is talking about, they have the same anointing because they're in the same message. Amen. Same water fall on both of them. Isn't water rain doctrine? Isn't that right? Amen. Same water, same doctrine on both. They enjoy the same message. We read the same message book.
Amen.
No wonder he warns us. It would deceive. Are you the elect?
Yes.
Can Pentecost be so close to deceive you? Notice they look the same.
Amen.
Go to a messenger and see their COD. They look the same.
Amen.
Well, Hughes Church don't look different from our church.
Amen.
They're the same.
Yeah.
Simmons don't look different. They're the same.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, Shem Church, Brother Green Church, George, they don't look different from us. They're the same.
Yeah.
We believe the same COD.
Okay. Amen.
It's the same. They are anointed the same. But notice, by their fruit. How do you know it? By their what? Okay, so we're going up again. Notice, but it's what they produce that tells the difference. By their fruit, Jesus said, you shall know them. You shall know them. Man does not gather grapes off of thistles, even though the thistle be ripe in the grape. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. What is the fruit? The word. Not the signs and the wonders. The word. Right. For the fruit of this, for the season. What is it? Their teaching. See, they're teaching of what? The teaching of the season. They're teaching, what is the season? The season is this message.
Amen.
The teaching of this season is this end time message.
Yes,
it's their teaching.
Amen.
Tell me why you're here in this ministry and this fellowship. For what are you here for? Doctrine. For the fruit, for the teaching. Right? This is the fruit that you reach out now. God is offering. You reach out and you live. If you take part of their fruit is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which I told you, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the perversion of the tree of life. And the tree of life represents the ministry of the word. And when you pervert the teaching that comes from the tree of life, you get the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To partake of their fruit, their teaching is death. We are right back in the Garden of Eden. Which fruit, which tree are you going to reach from?
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 7 now and read it again. 7 and the 15th verse. Go to the 15th verse there. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep clothing. Now I'm going to start writing here. You have wolves, which equals preachers, teachers. I'm going to say ministry. That's okay? Wolves. You're not talking about a lay member now. So they're called wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. Alright. So the wolves now became in sheep clothing. So they are, these wolves are imposters.
Amen.
And these imposters are impersonation. Of the true ministry.
Amen.
And if you cannot discern the man by his teaching, then I'm going to show you that that man represents a tree. Sheep clothing. Ye shall know them by their fruit. So now, the wolves now are symbolized as a tree. And their teaching is symbolized by their fruit is symbolized by their teaching. All right? Every good tree, so there's two different kinds of tree. There's the good tree and there is the false tree. Now, the good tree is a good ministry. And how do you tell a good ministry? Every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, well, good teaching. If the tree brings forth good teaching, then it is a good ministry. That represents the tree of life. So a good tree represents the tree of life that God has put in your midst. Then but a corrupt tree. So there's the corrupt tree. The false tree is a corrupt tree. What is a corrupt tree? The corrupt tree is to misplace, misinterpret, dislocate the message of the hour. So it is the false teaching in the very same message. False doctrine. So that's Cain and Abel back again. It's called, they started off with wolves, then it calls them trees. Right? Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit. So here's your tree now. Now, let's look at this tree now. I'm going to say tree. I'm going to say vine. I'm going to say branches. So we're moving into another area here now. Every good tree that bringeth forth evil fruit. All right, now let's look again now. So the false tree, representation of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is represented by a man and his ministry. Now I want you to listen for a minute. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Now let's take the tree now. The tree of the good, of the knowledge of good and evil. One represents God. One represents Satan. The branches represents ministry. The vine represents the life of Christ or Antichrist. I am the vine, ye are the branches. The branches is the fivefold ministry. And the fivefold ministry, every branch is supposed to bring forth fruit. This fruit is represented by you becoming the Word. The Word made flesh. The teaching become Word. Therefore, by their teaching, you shall know them. Now, this is broken into two parts. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the. So this, there's a class of the false anointed ones. I hate to do this. There's a class of the false anointed ones that do not do the will of their Father. So what will do they do? They do permissive will. Permissive will can be that which was permitted by God in days gone by. So that's yesterday's manner. You say, well, give me an example. Yesterday's manner was laying on of hands. Yesterday's manner was altar call. Prayer cloth. That's yesterday's manner. Mark 16:16 as the evidence was yesterday's manner. And the gifts of the Spirit like spoken of here. But he that doeth the will of my Father. So we know that the wolves and the false tree is going to add to the message of the hour. They're going to bring in traditions and creed that was once permitted into the message of the hour. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in my name done many things. Remember, all of these things are written in the word that you could do. But this was their major. They left the teaching out. So this is the class that doesn't care about doctrines and teaching. This is the false anointed one, or the Antichrist, that works against the message, but not against their teaching. By trying to get the people into a false sense of confidence. Amen. By these ministries. Amen. Amen. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of. Amen. To be iniquity means they had to be in a message to know what the prophet taught.
Amen.
then you are held accountable for iniquity.
Amen.
Right? So therefore, they are workers of iniquity. So the wolves are all workers of... These are not ignorant men to the message. These are literal men of the message.
Amen.
Go back to my notes again. Okay, the teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time is it? Man's doctrine. Denominational doctrine. But, or God's word for the season. I'm asking the question now. Is a oneness a denominational creed? Isn't it? All right. Here again. How many takes the tapes? Did you get my sermon not long ago, the anointed ones in the last days? Did you believe that? See, I said there will be antichrist. Notice the word plural. So false anointed ones are antichrist. Antichrist would almost deceive the very elect. So he's quoting antichrist from Matthew 24:24. The two spirits will be so close because one of them will be antichrist. You mean in the message? You never met an antichrist, haven't you? Maybe because you don't know the definition. Watch carefully. There will be antichrist. Antichrist would almost deceive the very elect if possible. Can it through? It can't because it's impossible. They are the elect. Are you the elect? Amen. But he said the anointed ones. See, Christ means anointed. But these were anti. They were anointed, but anti against Christ in their, I can't hear you, in their teaching. And their teaching falls here. It means after they teach, they become antichrist because they are going to persecute now them that teach differently.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, could you do anything that the rest of them could do? Now, they can do anything. See, they can do anything the rest of the week. They can dress like us, do everything like us. Same anointing, same everything. But, antichrist in their teaching.
Amen.
All right, let's take a resume of the age now. I want you to follow this back just a little bit. Remember, we're looking at a nation. The nation of Trinidad. We are all one. We started off all as one. Myself, Brother Shem, Brother Green, Brother Shem come and preach for us many times, didn't he? Best of friends, best of buddies. But we were in that group mixed multitudes. What began to happen? Doctrines. What does doctrine do? It separates.
Amen.
Amen. What is God doing? Now, we could remain. Listen, you can say, I don't understand the message. I don't believe what you believe. And you leave it there. That's okay. That doesn't make you antichrist. Foolish virgin doesn't see what we see, but they're not antichrist.
Amen.
What makes them antichrist is when they begin to fight and kill. The effects and influence of the word. That moves them, amen, into a different category.
Amen.
Follow again. But then, God in His sovereign grace sent a messenger by the name of Martin Luther to start a reformation. Listen carefully. Start a reformation. So when Luther preached justification by faith, the true vine for the first time in many centuries began to grow in a bountiful manner. And this very group that in Luther's generation had broken from the false vine now turned back to become a daughter of harlot. For she went right back into Nicolaitanism and Balaamism. The very same group that broke out of Luther time. They were false vine, from the Catholic, they broke out, they became Lutherans. And then that same group eventually went back and become false vine again. Now, didn't we get called out?
Yes.
Well, that's exactly the pattern that is going to happen again. They are going to be the daughters of the harlot, dressed like us. Carrying message books, but they are the secret agents of Lucifer to undermine and kill the effects and influence of the true.
Amen.
They are the Jesuit of the hour.
Yes,
I can't hear you.
Amen.
The false vine is the Jesuits of the hour in the message.
Yes.
Follow again. Why does God call these churches His churches, even though they are false vine? The truth of the matter is that they are Christians. Listen carefully. But they are not Christians of the Spirit. In other words, they are not born again.
Amen.
They are message churches, message pastors that are not born again.
Right.
They are not born again.
Amen.
Now you say, well, they could be born again people under a false pastor. They could never be born again under a false pastor because life comes through the body.
Amen.
If he don't got life, he ain't getting no life. And if they got life and he don't have, they'll run for their life. Hear what he says now. Why does God call these churches His churches, even though they are false vine? The truth of the matter is that they are Christians, but they are not Christians of the Spirit. They are Christians of the flesh. They are bearing the name in vain. Message believer in vain.
Amen.
Message Evening Light Tabernacle. Third Pull Tabernacle. Spoken Word Tabernacle. Blasphemous names.
Yes, sir.
Watch carefully. They are bearing the name in vain. And then he quotes Matthew 7:7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. These that are unconverted worship in vain. You say, how can that be? They're worshiping the same message. You got to be born again. If you're not born again, you're going to see the message differently.
Amen.
You're going to understand it differently. And you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And if you don't have a gene, you'll never have the truth.
Amen.
You'll say exactly what the Bible says, exactly what the prophet quote says, and be lost and lost, you know, and don't even know it.
Amen.
God Himself, the prophet said, God Himself comes in a blood cell and dwells in it. Well, you believe it. You believe it. If believing was the evidence, well then, fine. But believing is not the evidence.
Amen, brother.
Because you can believe that and you're completely wrong in how you understand it. Howbeit in vain do they worship me? Teaching for doctrine. Is oneness doctrine of men? 63, the coming of the Lord, the doctrine of men?
Yes.
God Himself indwells you?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit?
Amen.
Well, then. So the message is, if God accepts our worship, then goes and accepts Brother Simmons' worship, then God is really doing us an injustice. If His worship is not in vain, then your worship is in vain.
Amen.
And if you worship not in vain, then His worship is in vain. I can't hear you.
Amen.
They are gathering in vain.
Amen.
If you are the born-again bride of Jesus Christ, worshiping in spirit and in truth, then they are only message by name, but they are not converted. They are not Christians by spirit. Then in vain. If you are unconverted, in vain. You say, Brother Tony, can you worship God? The Bible said, all those that have breath, that's the Holy Ghost breath, let them praise the Lord. I can't hear you.
Amen.
Then Jesus breathed on them.
Amen.
And said, receive ye the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Unless you are born again, you have no right to witness this message. Unless you are born again, you have no right to witness this message.
Amen.
You want to teach your children, teach them they must be born again before they can witness the message.
Amen.
If you want to be Bible, if you want to be scriptural, unless you come in with some kind of Pentecostal idea. If you are not converted, you are going against the word to witness this message to anybody. Then you'll become witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, in Judea, and utmost parts of the world. They are bearing the name in vain. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandment of the dead. But indeed, they are Christian. For what else could they be? Of course, they are message believers. But not nominal message believers. Worship in vain. Okay, let's look at the characteristics now of the false vine. Remember, we learn in no uncertain terms that this false vine is the vine of Satan. Their gathering is of So if we are the bride, born again bride, we are garden of God. If we are not the born again bride, we are messaged by nomination. Nominal message. Believers, we are unconverted. Our worship is in vain. We have creeds in our teaching. The glare of another age.
Amen.
And then that would make Brother Simmons and Brother Hughes, that would make them gathering under the Lord, called by the Lord. But if we are gathered of the Lord, they must be the synagogue of Satan. You cannot have both.
That's right.
You cannot have both.
Amen.
You say, well, why can't it both be? Because we don't have two different seed. We have different teaching. And they are working against us. And we certainly are working against what they believe.
Amen.
And that's twins.
Amen.
You say, but I went to that church. Well, thank God he called you out the synagogue of Satan.
Amen.
You can't have both.
Amen.
You say, well, wait, no, Brother Tony. Give it a couple of minutes. Let's just continue to read. We learn in no uncertain term that this false vine is the vine of Satan. Their garden is of him, Satan. They meet in the name of God, our God, and lie that they are Christ. They lie that they are Christ. They preach, they teach, they baptize, they worship, they partake of religious rites given by Christ. Which Christ? Our messenger of the age. That's Christ. Right? To the church. Yet they are not of God. Wait a minute. But since they say they are, God will hold them responsible, and in each age he speaks to them and to them. Does that include our age? They remind us exactly of Balaam. Now watch carefully. He had the prophetic office. He knew the proper approach to God. They know the messenger, the prophetic ministry. They know the approach of God through the messenger, they always, not through denomination. Right? God hold them. He said, they remind us of Balaam. They had the prophetic office. They knew the proper approach to God as demonstrated in the sacrifice of the clean beast. Yet he was not a true word prophet. For God told him not to go to honor Balak with his presence. He sought to go anyway, for he was motivated by his lust for gold and prestige. So God let him go. The perfect will of God gave way to permissive will of God because of their heart desire of Balaam. So the false vine always operates in God's permissive will. Always operate in God's permissive will. After all, we are all one. Why can't we love one another? Why can't we? When God said, separate yourself from all unbelief. When God said they are cursed children. When God said they are eating things sacrificed unto idols. When God spewed them and reject them out of his mouth. So one of the characteristics of false vine, they operate under the permissive will of God. That's Matthew 7:21. You see? But they that do the will of my Father, yet in the name of God they were casting out devils, prophesying, because they want the permissive will of God. They want to bring back Pentecostal age into the bride age. They want gifts and blessings, not position and authority.
Amen.
They want a healing campaign every service. They want a testimony every service. Was your testimony is that, have you matured anymore coming into the mind of the Lord? Have you come any more closer into your position with Christ? Are you seeing yourself more and more walking like Enoch with his word? They don't care about that. Follow again. The false vine and Mark 16 and Mark 7:21. We learn that most amazing truth, that the Holy Spirit could fall upon the unregenerated false vine Christians and manifest powerfully in various signs and wonders. That is like all those false prophets out there. Genuine manifestation, but false. Even as Judas had a definite ministry of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, though he himself was pronounced to be a devil. While yet a devil, they were doing signs, wonders, and miracles, and had a sanctified life. So now we learn that a devil can be sanctified. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Sanctified devils preaching the message of the hour. And you are judging their life and saying, they love the Lord, they're so sweet, they love the Lord. That's just a sanctified devil, brother. Slap the guy inside of the head and say, hey, wake up. It's a sanctified devil you're admiring there.
I'm brother so-and-so, a message church from over there. You all believe that funny thing over there about them two gods, eh?
Yeah, we certainly do, brother, Mr. Sanctified Devil.
I want you to know I was preaching and the Lord showed me this and the Lord did this and the Lord did that and the Lord...
Did the Lord tell you the truth? Yeah, that's them. You know, I took my family away for the holidays. They had on the hotel, they had Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson was like this with another woman praying. Right now, there's somebody got a neck pain. Right now. My goodness. Wow, that's half of America, including my wife. Imagine people falling for that foolishness. But you see, you put a cockable seed and a wheat seed in the same bed and pour water down upon them and anoint them. They both rejoice. They will both grow with it. They say, Malachi 4, everybody, praise God. Luke 17:30, amen, brother. Amen. God in the form of a prophet. Which God? What do you mean, which God? There's only one God. His name is Jesus. Oh, you mean Jesus, the Son of God, is God? Yes. No, my Jehovah, Jesus, is God.
Amen.
See, two seeds, they both, they rejoice at the same quote. That is why they come and they read the quotes to you. But they have a completely different meaning. And you don't even know what they mean. Until you really start talking to them and questioning them. See, they will grow by it. The same water, the sun shines. Listen to some people on the internet who believe this message. Right? And the things they're saying, you find no problem with it. It's what they mean, what they said, it is where the problem lies. Well, they're quoting back, and what they're saying is exactly what the prophet messenger said. But what they mean, their meaning of what they mean in it, that's how close it will deceive the very elect. Amen. You can't help but amen the word. Amen. Don't amen the meaning of what they mean in the word. That's how close it will deceive the very elect. Amen? So let me give you an example. Brother Reagan don't believe what we believe, right? But then you listen to him and you amen everything. Yet a completely different God. Completely different gospel. The same quotes. Hmm? Brother Simmons don't believe what we believe. But you've gone and heard him and you've already amen the word. So close.
Yes.
Deceive the very elect and you don't even know it.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you were under Brother Hughes, preaching another gospel, another spirit. Even thought you were born again under there.
Yes, sir.
That's how deceived you were, didn't even know it.
Amen. That's right.
We've been there, friends. Amen. And I want to harden your heart. I want no sympathy. This is a war. Amen. Either surrender, lift your hands up, be surrender, we'll take you prisoner. Amen. And we will convert you. Or stay there and die. Rot in that prison house. Amen. Amen. But no sympathy, brother.
Amen.
You don't see they go in Iraq and the Americans will say, "You've been a nice Muslim. You sorry you killed some of our soldiers? Come over here. Po. Or put your hands up and surrender." What do you think this is? A sissified army? Let God fix up the end, who is right and who is wrong and who deserves. Let Him fix it up. Until that time, you lift your hand, you surrender, you come out. Or else, you die in there. No sympathy, brother. Mm-mm. If you think that's Christian sympathy, you're a fool. But you see, you put a cockable seed and a wheat seed in the same bed, pour water upon it, and anoint them. They both rejoice. They both grow with it. The same water, the same sunshine of the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. By their fruit you shall know them. So, the same rain, but their teaching is different. How can you keep from lining up with the word? Amen. See what I mean? The water falls on the just and the unjust, anointed. Jesus said they will come to me in that day saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Have not done prophesy? Have not done great things in your name?" He said, "You workers of iniquity, depart from me. I don't even know you. You go into eternal hell." Wait a minute. Brother Bram is saying that? Go into eternal hell that's been prepared for the devil and his angels. See? Now he's quoting Matthew 7:21 to go to hell. Amen. I can't hear you. Yes. The only people going to hell are the devil and his angels and his preachers. Yes, he said they're going to eternal hell. Yes. You want to, you know, pussyfoot around it. Play, tiptoe around it. Don't you play tiptoe around that. That's going to hell.
That's right.
Amen. Don't you do that. Don't you tiptoe around the tulips. Amen. You're gonna get hurt. Amen. You want to go walk around a how do you call those things? A minefield? Don't you do that. Amen. He said they're going to hell. They're going to hell. Matthew 7:21. Now, he just quoted Matthew 24:24. The two spirits so close. And he said they are antichrists. Look how he's interpreting Matthew 24 and Matthew 7:21. The ones who lead the bride away into signs and wonders, away from the word, is iniquity. And the one who's leading them into a false teaching is the same thing.
Yeah. Amen.
So watch both sides. Amen. Not just one side. Going to eternal hell, you see? See, what? A word. Falsely worship in vain. Did he quote that already?
Yeah.
What he's quoting? Mark 7:7? Call them antichrists.
Amen.
So they're casting out devils, doing these things, and they say that's in vain.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Don't nobody go tell Benny Hinn that. That hurt his feeling. More than people he's healed.
Amen.
Don't go tell some of these false prophets how many think they prophesy that's right and tell them they're going to hell. Say, how can God send me to hell when all of these things I said was right? What's your teaching? That's why he's judging you.
Amen.
Teaching tells your seed, not what the anointing does on you. Now, all things originate in Genesis. You believe that?
Amen.
You like to study Genesis, brethren, you ministers? Oh, I think it's the greatest book in the Bible, one of them. Everything that you find today originated in Genesis. Genesis means the beginning. Every cult that you'll find on the earth started in Genesis. Every real true church on the earth today started in Genesis. Now, and you notice now, for our beginning tonight, we're going to go back and liken the true vine and the false vine. That's the title of this message, True Vine and False Vine. Now in the message, the seal of God, he says this. Then you won't have any of these false vine things that's trying to impersonate and do this. So we know false vine are impersonators. I'm going to write a list here. False vines impersonators. Impersonators of what? The bride. Your true bride. One will sit around now and say, "Dr. Jones says that's my reading. That's mine reading. Well, my pastor says this guy is Beelzebub. He's a devil." The other one said, "Well, it's not the Lord. I tell you that." One of them said, "He's got two wives." Another one said, "He preached two lords. So not only are they, but they are slanderers.
Amen.
False accusers makes them the devil.
Amen.
And Satan. They are our adversary. And they are false accusers.
Amen.
The people don't know what to do, what to believe. You believe God's Bible? That's the thing that's right. Every word be a lie. Let mine be true. Now we are going to speak a little tonight, if Lord willing. Just a little, old evangelist, maybe the Lord will help us on the true vine and the false vine. False kills the truth. Already the false vine was turning loose its anger against the living God by killing the elect. I can't hear you.
Amen.
Even as did it for Bear, Cain killed Abel. So what's the, not only are they impersonators of the real, but they are murderers.
Amen.
Killers. Slanderers, murderers, killers. How many was told that we were preaching two gods before they came here? One, two, three. You just didn't meet the right people. Did you find that to be slanderous, brother? Was it a lie? But you still think very highly of the liar. Isn't that true? Because it's hard for us to get around our mind when we say pastor and minister that they are the biggest liars they are. It's hard for us to wrap our mind around that. But yet Satan is the biggest liar there is. The father of lies. And Jesus said, you are of your father. Follow again. Those who fight the humble of God and scoff and destroy, let them do it. And do it they will. So we could expect that. And all in the name of God and religion. All in the name of this message. But they, I can hear you. But they lie.
Amen.
Amen. But they lie. They are not of God. They are of their father, the devil. They, by their deeds against any people, expose themselves to what they are. Let them organize and repudiate the little flock. They but further reveal to all that they are of the devil. They are the false vine, the vine that murders. So what was he attempting to do to Brother Elliot? Murder my character, murder the ministry. So guess what? To do what? So Brother Elliot can stay there. It means the same thing Balaam wanted, numbers. Why do they do it? Why does Brother Simmons do it? Same spirit, want to have a big church over killing the influence of someone. Why do they do it? It's for popularity, pride. Why does Sherman Green do it and George? Because they want to be considered the ones with the reputation in Trinidad. We set Trinidad in order, the doctrine. We don't need anybody to teach us. I've been preaching this year 35 years. Killing a lot of people for 35 years.
Amen.
And killing the younger ministers coming up by teaching them how to kill people. Mass murderers.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what they are, mass murderers. So the prophet says the false vine that murders. Well, there are many different ways to murder. But one of the greatest ways is their false teaching.
Amen.
That's the murders. Now, what else are they, the false vine? Consider the thought of blasphemy. These of Satan's synagogue. So anything, that any church who's under a pastor that's not converted is a synagogue of Satan. Because God will not have a man pastor a church that is not born again. Let me say it again. Any message church whose pastor is not born again, who did not get life from some man who had life. Life comes through the body. And what he has will be reflected in the doctrine he teaches, the Jesus, the gospel, and the spirit that he has is the synagogue of Satan and not a message church. You been to any synagogue of Satan lately? These of Satan's synagogue were not blaspheming God in this instant, though that goes without saying. But they were blaspheming the true church. I ask you a question. Who is their favorite congregation to blaspheme in Colombia? Hey, you must be the true church. The synagogue of Satan has targeted you. I'm just reading the characteristics of the false vine. I brought you out how in the last 3 years the tides have turned, the corner has turned. We see that these men passed away. We see the rise of the Antichrist and believe the sign. This organization is designed. The Collins boy designed. Jeff Jenkins designed. And there's another one from Perry Green Church that left it and he started the ball rolling against Brother Branham. I forgot the name of his site. But these are Antichrist that was brought up in the message. But they left us because they were not of us.
Amen.
And so also is this. In the mixed multitude, we were all one. But they departed from us because they were not of us. If they were with us, they would have continued in the doctrine we believe. But since they couldn't continue, they're Antichrist. You know that scripture? I'm going to get it for you in a minute. So who are they blaspheming? If you say you are the true church and nobody talking about you and this church and this ministry, you run for your life.
Amen.
You better go on in and let them know, please, can you blaspheme us some more? I really need to have the evidence that we are the true church. Do they talk about this church?
Amen.
We are the talk of the town. Amen. Are you popular? The infamous. The infamous. Amen. Listen carefully. You can't be one in a million and tell me you're popular. You can't tell me you're an oddball and then you're popular. Get invited to all the social message programs. What's wrong with you people? You can't have black night and day at the same time. All right. They're blaspheming the true church. Certainly, as Cain persecuted and killed Abel because he, Cain, was of that. So why are they saying the things they're saying about the true church? Because they are of the wicked one. Whose father? Whose father is Brother Simmons then? Whose father is Brother Hughes then? If they're the same father, they can't persecute us. I'm only saying what he's saying, but I've got to live the reality of what is here before me now. You either make me of the wicked one or you make them of the wicked one. You got a choice, but you can't have both. Because we have two different seed, because we have two different teaching. I'll ask Trinidad the same thing. Is Shem of God or Shem of the devil or the wicked one? Green, is he of God or of the wicked one? You say you can't say that. Well, I can't. If I can't say that, I can't read this quote. Because either I am of the wicked one or they are of the wicked one, but we both not from the same source. And there ain't no three fathers, there's only two.
Amen. Go ahead,
I'm going to read it again. These of Satan's synagogue were not blaspheming God in this instance, though that goes without saying. They were blaspheming the true church, certainly. As Cain persecuted and killed Abel, because he, Cain, was of the wicked one, and as the dead former Judaic followers, Jesus said that they were of their father, the devil. Jesus said they were their father, the devil. You mean I couldn't say that? Why don't they understand our speech? Why can't Simmons and Shem and Green and Hughes understand our doctrine? I heard from some young person, I just heard it, and they said, you mean they can't see that? That's so simple. A child could understand it. Why can't they? They love a lie, brother. They love the lie. They love the lie. The Bible said they love the lie. And as Cain persecuted Abel because he, Cain, was of the wicked one, and as the dead former Judaic church, Jesus said that they were of their father, the devil, tried to destroy the Christians in the first few years of the first age. Now this same group, the false vine, I can't help you. I didn't put that in there. He's identifying the false vine. Is even more strongly attempting to destroy the true believers in the second age. That antichrist spirit is growing. So what is that spirit of the false vine? It's antichrist. Why? Because it likes to kill and murder. Amen. How do you know they're different fathers? They're different teachings. Their different teaching shows that they are twins. How did they become twins? They started off with the same group. Same mother. Same mixed multitude. Same come out. So this is where the whole, every nation, I'm just using Trinidad. We first started off mixed multitude. We're all one.
Amen.
All meetings at Oja. All the meetings, you know, they come together, all the churches getting together. Then you have separation. You have some group going with Brother Coleman. Then you have some going with Henry Green and Dan Daisley group and Jerry Rowe. And then they started separating with the doctrine and teaching. And then from there now came out twins. You have twins and now they're antichrist. Now they're fighting the truth to keep the people blinded. That antichrist spirit is growing. Now, out of the first key we have received of the Lord, here comes another and slightly less wonderful truth. I said that the true vine would always try to be like it was in the book of Acts. That's exactly right. But we have discovered that the word also teaches an invasion of error until there is a complete blackout of truth in the last days when the Lord is about to appear. That's the Son of Man. Do you agree that? The question now rises in our mind, does God forsake his own and let them fall in a state of complete deception? On no account, for the scripture says, verily, very clearly, Matthew 24, that the elect cannot be deceived. You say, Brother Tony, they are elect. Well then, Brother Abraham said, God will not allow his elect to fall into deception and remain there. That is why you're here. That is why you've been called out. That's why he went looking for you. Now, you might have come out for the wrong reason, but God permitted.
Amen.
You might have come out because somebody kicked you in the shin. You might have come out because somebody did gossip or whatever it is. Some foolish reason that you shouldn't have really left. But it was all in the providence of God. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that everywhere possible deceive the very elect. What then? The answer is clear before us. There is a true church and a false truth. There is a true vine and a false vine. But of course that false church, false vine body will always try to usurp the position of the true church and contend that she and not the elect are the real and authentic. Well, somebody is real and somebody is not real. If we are real, Simmons, Hughes, Shem, Green, they are not.
Amen.
And if we are not the real, then they are the real. And more of them are real than we. Now these things are hard, but I don't know, but I've got to put my experience of what I am going through, what this ministry is going through, what we as a people are going through,
Amen.
Back into the Word.
Amen.
And I've got to question if there are many churches around us. I've got to question my experience and their experience, why it is we are not one.
Amen.
Now, which one matches the Word? If you go like pretty altars and pretty words and pretty nice, you know, my goodness, I feel already, you might as well run. You won't hear them talking to their congregation like this. Oh, they don't call people name, or do. Brother, you can call my name, it's okay. Go ahead and do it. Just tell the truth, though.
Amen.
Tell the truth.
Amen.
Now, I could do it a smart way. I can say, now, this church is Hermidius, and that's Philogemon, and that is Diotrephes, and certainly we've got some Alexanders. The false vine will try to kill the true. That is how it was in the book of Acts. That is how it is set forth in the seven church ages. And that is how it declared in the various epistles. That is how it has been. That is how it is. I can't hear you. Now, that is how it will be. It can't change. Anybody trying to kill your influence for what you believe? Anybody trying to make you feel that you're deceived? Fallen false doctrine? Wrong inspiration? Huh? Do you know who you are, Eagle Faith? Do you know who you are? We've got our problems. We've got our dirty laundry. We've got people who are not where they should be. People not obeying like the way they should. That's all fine. That's good. Let God chastise them. But the main thing is we are on the same journey. In the same direction. In this age, the hatred of the false vine increases. So the false vine hates the true vine. You see, they have, verse 9, separate themselves from the company of the true. They went out from them. So that's 1 John 2, 18-19. They started off. You have to be together. You have to be in a mixed multitude before you could separate. What separates? Doctrine. Then what happens after doctrine? You form groups. Then you try to make your group bigger. So what do? You attack the true vine by saying that we are the true church and they are false. Isn't that true? That's how it works. Let me give you a good example. When Brother Bram comes and says, they are hawks, they are chicken. That church is not the church of Christ, it's the church of Antichrist. Wait a minute. You see, if you tell the truth, it's not slander. And it's not false accusation. Now, if you stand up for something that you believe in, really, and would not move, if it's right, you're called steadfast. If you're wrong, you're called stubborn. That's the difference between the two. See how close that is? You want to hear that again? I think you'd like to hear that, huh? When Brother Bam said, that's the church of the Antichrist. They are hicken, they're chicken, they're hawk. That's not calling them names. That's not slander. No, because it was true. A slanderer is one who don't tell the truth. He would give you a wrong impression of something. He wasn't giving you no wrong impression of that. That's what they are.
Amen.
Hawk and chicken. And when Jesus said, you hypocrites, you know, whitewashed sepulchres. That wasn't a slanderer.
Amen.
But if they had said that about him, they would have been slanderers. Because it wasn't true. Amen. When you believe something with all your heart and you stand for it, unmovable, unshakable, regardless who comes and talks to you about it.
Amen.
If you're right, it's called steadfast.
Amen.
Persistent. Persevering.
Thank you.
But if you're wrong, you're stubborn and it's witchcraft.
Amen.
That's the only difference, is what you're standing on. In this age, the hatred of the false vine increases. See? Separate yourself from the company of the true. They went out from them. They were liars. You notice the key word again. They were. So false doctrines automatically make them liars. Liars. They call themselves what they are not. They say they are bright, but they are not. So can I say, when they say there's a message church over there, they say that's a lie.
Amen.
That's a message lodge.
Amen.
Say that pastor, I say you lie, that's a wolf.
Amen.
In message clothing.
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
Would I be telling the truth?
Yes.
You're supposed to be grown up by now. I don't believe God will give you these things if you're not grown up. You got to know who you are. If you're not the Sarah, then you find a place where you can be Sarah. If you're not Esther, you find a place where you can be Esther. Amen. But both Sarah, Esther, Rebecca, one thing, nobody can tell them. They knew what God had given them. He knew what God did for them.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Until they could step up to the plate and intercede.
Amen.
Out of her can come kings. Out of Rahab can come kings.
Yes.
separate yourself from the commandment. They went out from her. They were liars. They called themselves what they are not. But did God destroy them? No. Let them alone. And both will go into the... Don't expect these false lodges to close up. Amen. Don't expect them to get smaller. They're going to get bigger. Amen. I can't hear you.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. So big until you find yourself thinking, well, if God is with us, why can't we have all those numbers? Because where truth is should have a lot of people. People don't love truth. People love religion. But Lord, they should be destroyed, for they are destroying the people. They are killing them. No, let them alone. But to my bride I say, be thou faithful unto death. Love me even more. Now in the Garden of Eden, we find out that there first was one man, Adam. God made him a helpmate, which was Eve. Then come Cain, and then Abel. Let's begin right there. Now, spirit does not die. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Now, spirit does not die. Men die, but spirit does not die. Anybody know what he's talking about? He's talking about ministering angels that come to anoint a certain family line. Don't you know there's a line that follows the Gorillal demons? Because they know that line. They know the genetics of that line. The peculiarity. It knows them and comes and try the weaknesses of that same line every age. And if God don't come and give grace to an individual in that, they will forfeit all the time.
Amen.
The Jones line have the same. The Gorillal line have the same. The Schwartz line have the same. They're all. If you find woman problem in your great-grandfather, it might skip one by the grace of God, but it'll come and it'll have all. Broken marriages all the way. That's how that works. It's a line. It comes to anoint the family line.
Amen.
God takes his man, but never his spirit. God took Elijah. The double portion of his spirit came upon Elisha. Now we're talking about a religious line. He elects the ministry of God. Both 800 years later come on John the Baptist and predicted to come again in the last days. God took Christ out of the earth, but the Holy Spirit come back. So here we're talking about ministries now. The devil takes his man, but the spirit remains the same. Now, what does it mean there now? It means that the spirit that was on Judas, the anointing, can come upon the church, but it comes upon it through ministering spirits. All right, so these ministering spirits anoint people. These people die, but the ministering spirits remain, waiting to go on again.
Amen.
It could fall on another man, on another man. The devil takes his man, but the spirit remains the same. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. Notice that. Said, which one of the prophets that showed for the coming of the just one did your fathers not stone and so forth? Speaking of the Pharisee. So he is telling you the spirit that anointed those prophets of old to reject the truth in their day and to kill it is the same spirit that is anointing you and all that is attributed to your father.
Amen.
So the spirit that's fighting this ministry, these truths, to kill this influence of this Jesus, this gospel that we believe, is the same spirit that was on the prophets of old. It was on the scribes and Pharisees. It was on the denomination against Brother Branham. And it's right here in the message, clothed, amen, wolves and sheep clothing.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
So when you see them and they're trying to kill the influence, say, I know that spirit of your father. It was on Jesus. It was on those Pharisees with Jesus.
Amen.
Hear what the prophet goes on to say. Remember and keep right this in mind. The Antichrist spirit is not communism. Because communism is don't believe in God.
Amen.
It's not communism. The Antichrist spirit is religious. Jesus said he'll be so close he'll deceive the very elect. In Matthew 24:24, talking about two teaching in the message, then it's Antichrist. You say, I never met an Antichrist. What's the teaching of that church over there you came from again? Can I ask you, did you come from an Antichrist church, friends?
Yes, sir. Brother. Amen.
Sure did you come from an Antichrist ministry, friends? Well, then, if you say you come to Christ, you can't be upset when I say they are Antichrist.
Amen. Right.
But that is what it is.
Amen.
In Namibia, where did you come from? Trinidad, where did you come from? Barbados, Guyana, where did you come from? This is not a truth or a difference in a doctrine or a couple doctrine. This is a completely different gospel, a completely different Jesus, a completely different birth. It is not a something like a communistic anti-God affair. It is a religious spirit. John saw it in Revelation. He wondered with great admiration how it set like the church of the living God, how it set like a message church. You admired it. That's why you went there. You admired the preacher, the message preacher that you were under. You admire his words. Amen. You admire his wisdom. You admire his gift. You are admiration. Like John, I asked you. Did you not come through that?
Yes.
If you didn't, why did you pay him your tithing? Why did you go there and sit and take his doctrine, his teaching? Some of you probably even defended him.
You can't talk about my pastor that way.
What, you are like Paul, who once loved the law. And then when he came out, he said, you mean you want to go back to bondage? Why should I go back to bondage? Wait a minute. You just defended it and loved it. You just called that man that you went to church with and fellowship with in a message, who taught you everything fundamentally of the message. You just said he was a man of God. That was a couple of years ago. Now you say he's Antichrist. He said, would you make up your mind? This is real, friends. This is real. It's so close to us. See, it's so close. But what I've got to do, I've got to break that religious spirit that wants us to respect that which God does not respect. Amen. Amen. And to honor what God does not honor.
Amen.
And learn to discern and overcome the Antichrist spirit in the framework of this message. Not everything that says minister is a minister of God. He's a minister, all right, but not of God. He's a message church, all right. But amen, he's a message lodge, really.
Amen.
If you can't recognize that and know that in your mind or your heart, that religious spirit of this age will go and take you over.
Yes,
we are all one. You better get that out of your mind.
Amen.
How it set like the church of the living God and so forth, and yet it was found the blood of even martyrs. Why blood? Hey, I become a martyr, religious martyr. I've been killed all day long. Now I got two wives, they say. I had two gods, now I got two wives. Oh my. Oh, I'm waiting for them to say, yeah, I got two bank accounts. I'm going to go look for that one. I'd even been killed for the Lord Jesus. Now, in the Garden of Eden, there will be we will just let Adam and Eve pass by and begin with two boys, Cain and Abel. We was talking of them a few days ago. Each one of those boys was spirits. And to my opinion, right there were Judas and Jesus in a prefigure. Just as Cain killed Abel at the altar, Judas killed Jesus at the altar by betraying him and denying him. Now, go back to Genesis with me. Watch those boys come up. They worship. Both of them worshiping. Both Cain. Remember, they are twins. Yet I can't hear you.
Amen.
Do you know that the mother, the church, even the message church, do you know the mother church, Eve, do you know she nourished the both of them from her own body?
Amen.
Do you know she protecting the both seed? Do you know she called them both sons? I can't hear you.
Amen.
Do you know they both look to her?
Amen.
Amen. But it came a time to prove that what came out of her, the revival, was not the same fathers.
Amen.
Or not. This is the hour. This is why the persecution. This is why the rise of the Antichrist against the prophet and against the true church, message church and ministry.
Amen.
That is the rise. Learn what hour we are living in. Learn what stage of the ministry we are at. The present stage of the ministry is the rise of the Antichrist against the true church. Cain. Now Cain worshipped God with all his heart. He made him a sacrifice, built an altar, worshipped the Lord. Just as sincere as he know how to worship. Sincerity. Altars belonging to church. All of those doesn't spell it. Not a bit. Now listen very carefully. For those of you who are like sincerity. Here come a little Abel pulling that lamb with a spiritual revelation, and he knew that it wasn't the fruit that brought them out. How did he know that? By revelation. He knew it was blood, and life don't lay in plants, it lays in blood. Here he come with a little string wrapped around a grapevine, little lamb, threw him out there. This is it, Lord. And God said, that's justification. Amen. Then look, his brother was jealous of him. So notice one of the reasons also that follows the twin pastors and twin churches have the spirit of jealousy. I heard a pastor in Guyana tell me, he said, Brother Tony, they have no problem with you. The problem is just jealousy. I believe it. That jealousy streak never leaves that high society class. No, sir. It's still there. Amen. Still there. It won't leave. It makes its roots and bed in hell. Notice there was a move up there and killed his brother. Notice those two spirits leaving from, watch how it dominated the world. Here come out of Genesis. Watch anything you want to. Watch the world order. Watch everything as it comes through Genesis. It comes up through a process. It done gone up there and blooming out in a seed to produce the same thing it was in Genesis. Here's the false vine. Here's the true vine. And there, and they are both growing side by. Do you realize that Judas Iscariot was treasurer of the church out of the same tribe of the Lord Jesus? He was a big man, brothers with the rest of them, sat in the same pew, sang the same songs, worshipped the same God, preached the same gospel, and was Judas. Do you realize the same spirit moves right up through the church? But here Judas showed his colors at Pentecost. What? At the new birth. He never got birthed. Here is a preacher that never was birthed. Just before Pentecost, before they really born again, got born again. People don't believe tonight. Many of the people don't believe there is such a thing as an experience of being born again. Now I want you to notice very carefully. Stop right there. Hit my notes, the other set of notes. Okay. Now, you're not supposed to witness or preach a gospel until you have received the power of the Holy Spirit. You agree with me?
Amen.
Amen. How do you receive it? You receive, give it to them that obey. This word obey means to submit. It means to take on what you're hearing as an absolute.
Amen.
Is that true?
Amen.
Do you believe what we believe to be the truth? Do you take it on as an absolute?
Yes.
Then God will give the Holy Ghost to them that submit, believe. Take it as an absolute. Now, that's exactly how ministers are supposed to be born again. If they're not born again, when they hear these truths come into their church, come into their country, then they can be converted. But what would they do? They resist. They don't submit. They resist. How can you receive the Holy Ghost? It's just like your fathers resisted the Holy Spirit. So do they. We're talking about message pastors, message ministers. You know, men of renown. But look what did Brother Hughes call it? Two gods. What did Simon call it? Two God. What did Shem call it? Two God. What does Green call it? Two God. What does George call it? Jehovah's Witness doctrine. Resist the Holy Ghost. They could never be converted without the truth. Go on up. So go on up. So will not submit to it. So when you will not submit to it, that's what you'll do. They took counsel on how to kill him. Notice that. The last verse there. Before you come down. See, he will obey them. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and not confess and took counsel to what? When the truth comes. So that is exactly when Shem got it, he resisted it, then he took counsel how to slay it. Green, how to slay it. George, how to slay it. Well, we don't have to talk about Hughes and Simmons. They made their cuts clear. Going up. The man of God that sent to the field today, listen carefully. Man of God that sent in the field today has no right to preach the gospel without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the first qualification of a minister, is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. In Namibia, go back to Brother George, your Brother Smith, and ask him, where did you get the Holy Ghost and who had life that passed it on? And if you have life, you can't deny these truths.
Amen.
You'll submit to it. Well, then you ain't got life. You ain't born again. You're a lodge. And everybody under you is unconverted. That's why they can't jump higher than you. And they don't know a hill of beans, and you don't know a hill of beans. Amen. Same thing with Shemali. You're deceived. Don't even know it. Preaching 63 is the coming of the Lord. They believe that the voice in the bride is going to call the resurrection. Can you imagine me calling the resurrection and being surprised when they rise? Awfully foolish thing. Eh?
Amen.
Singing, Lord Michael is Jesus Christ. Lord Michael once descended. That's their songs that they sing. High degree of idolatry. Follow. Hear what it says. Man of God that sent to the field today has no right to preach the gospel without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What about the preacher telling the people, go out, witness. You all go to the dark alleys, go. You got to make sure your people are converted before you send them. Otherwise, you end up with an old Pentecostal idea how to fill up your church with a bunch of devils. Devils bringing devils in. I can't hear you. If you're unconverted, you are not of God yet. If you belong to God, you got a seal, you got a mark, you got a sign.
Amen.
Let me prove to you. How many, somebody witnessed a message to them? If that person was converted, you'd never been baptized wrong. They never would have led you to the wrong Jesus. So the man who led you wasn't even converted. And that is why he had all these heartaches. But take it now, you who lead somebody to Christ, guess what you will do? I can't hear you. You think they will have that heartache? No, brother. No, sirree. That's the first qualification of a minister, is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What's the first qualification of a minister? If I got a minister who is filled with the Holy Ghost, I'll never leave his church. Even if I don't make it, I know he'll make it. I will never leave his church because I know he's going regardless. Why did you leave your churches, brother? Were they converted? Would you leave a converted man, Brother Jones? Would you leave a converted man, Brother Elliot? Oh, my goodness. You say they're not converted. Well, the reason they're not converted is that now false teachers bring false births. I can't hear you. So let me ask you, where you came from, was he a true teacher or a false teacher? Well, then he gave you a false birth. That's why you had a sense that you were a believer. And then when you came here, then you were afraid of me. So where's this man going? Man, he's going to Oyoho. Why he's just frightening me? Oh my goodness, he's saying some strange things. Oh my goodness. Isn't that true? Some of you remain because you ain't got nowhere else to go. You already went to about 5 churches. So you might as well say, well, if you're going down, I might as well go down with this ship. You kind of seem to know what he's doing, but I sure don't know what he's saying. Why does Brother Hughes' people believe that they're born again? It's a false birth. Well, Simmons people, false birth. Shem people, false birth. Green people, false birth. Because if you're born again, you cannot practice sin. You cannot misplace, dislocate, misinterpret. And it takes a sheep to produce a sheep. And once you're a sheep, you'll always eat sheep food. Amen. And that's what the law, if you look up the word law, it means nomos, law. Law. Law means the right legal kind of food. That's what law is, the right legal kind of food. Look at the Hebrew and see if it's not so. Right, normal, legal kind of food. Sheep food. In the Greek. Okay, watch it again. False teachers brings false birth. True prophets will bring The Word, the birth of the Word, Christ. False prophets will bring false birth. The birth of churches, the birth of creeds. False keep enough truth to make a form of godliness. Now listen. Now I'm saying something here. I want you to listen. Them kind of false conception, you know what a false conception is, leads millions of people to a false. False teachers lead the people to believe in a sensation. Cause you joke all over. Or you believe the prophet. Or you love the prophet. Or you love this message. Or you believe it all your heart. That's no reason for birth. Amen. Go on up. False keep enough truth to make it a form of godliness. And listen, now I'm saying something here. I want you to listen. Them kind of false conception, you know what a false, leads millions of people to false birth. False teachers lead the people to believing in a sensation. Amen. And before we can have this revival, God has to call out and train men. God trained men to carry. That's why there's no revival. Amen. But I don't know about you, but for me, I've been having a word revival. Yes, I've been growing, I've been renewing, I've been seeing. Amen. And if that's not revival, I don't know what is.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. It's when you're stagnated and you're dying, that's where your trouble is. They don't care what the opposition is. That means once you have the truth, amen, and you have the revival, guess what follows a revival? Opposition. So that means when the Antichrist is rising against it, the bride should be expecting and be beginning to see signs of revival in her.
Amen.
Hmm? Amen. I don't know about you, brother, but amen. I hope you make it. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait until I tell you all about it. They don't care what the opposition is. They are willing to go to the fiery furnace in defeat or in the lion's den or whatever it may be. They are ready to go because they have been in the presence of God and know that He is.
Amen.
You cannot preach God, you don't know God. Whether it is a victory or defeat, they still stand the same. That's the kind of training God does to man. And it's very strange to think that God would do that. That God trains His men like that, but He does. God cannot send a revival until He's got a man in a shape to take it. We cannot have a revival until we get men. God called men. God trained men. Men who are not afraid to face the fire. Men who has come into the presence of God and knows His power. Knows His omnipotence. Knows His healing power. Some men that's trained to know the living God. That is why Jesus' first doctrine was, He must be. If they're not born again, no wonder they're afraid to carry these doctrines. Oh, this one will cut me off. That one will cut me off. Oh, they'll call me names. Who cares what they call you?
Amen.
If it's the truth, it's the truth.
Amen.
That's why I like Brother Cyril's stand. You know, cut him off from all his funds. Cut him off from, you know, supporting him so that he can go out and do what he needs to do. Amen. He said, well, that's okay. If they cut me out, God will open my way somewhere. But if I have to drink water, branch water and eat soda cracker, I'm willing to do it because I know it's the truth.
Amen.
Nearly all many churches say they are born again. Watch, we find out there are many different meanings that people put to it. Nearly all churches say that you must be born again. But each one of them has their own different interpretation to that. So Brother Hugh's interpretation is what he teaches them produce their birth. Simmons, what he teaches them, produce a birth. Brother Shem, Brother Green, interpretation, all their people are birthed. All Green people are birthed. All Hughes people are birthed. Hmm? But how come they can all be one? Shem, Green, Hughes, Simmons, they're all one. They're all one. Little differences here and there. But they are all one. But we are not that one. We are not. You don't get that grace. You don't get that measure. Amen. God protecting us. Protecting our womb. Alright, let's go back to my... Let's go up and let me see what I got in there. Let me see what I got in there. I don't think I need it. I really don't think I need it. Okay, let me just finish off the pieces I got. Go back to the next set of notes. I'm coming to an end with these. I just want you to see those stages. So first of all, you have mixed multitude. How many understand what mixed multitude is? That comes out in the Exodus. And every messenger calls you out from an age. But what comes out? Mixed multitude. Why are they called mixed multitude? But why? Give me a reason for mixed multitude. Is it talking about different kinds of beliefs? Kinds of species. Different species come out. Then twins. Every revival produces twins. And therefore, what is a twins? How would you know the twins? By their fruit, which is their teaching, their doctrines. Well, that is what brings separation. We are separated from them and they from us because of our teachings. Amen. So they move from mixed multitude. Now we get into the message. In mixed multitude, the enemies is denomination. In the twins, the enemies is within the camp of the message world. So instead of saying the denomination is a harlot, we say that message church is a lodge and that's a harlot daughter. Instead of looking at the outside and saying Antichrist, we look against what is against the message. Not what we disbelieve it. What's against the message. Working against it. Then. Amen. Then it moved from twins to Antichrist because they are fighting. They are jealousy, their hatred, ungodly anger, willful disobedience, iniquity, stubbornness, pride. You see, and they try to kill the influence of the elect and the message. Then when you have all those three, it is considered to be false vine. Now let's read a little bit about a false vine. But those two, Cain and Abel, that's true vine, false vine. Both of those boys was very religious boys. They were really, truly religious. Listen carefully. Truly. Cain knowing after he come out of there and realizing he was mortal, he could not go out to face death, knowing he had to go out of the world without being sincere. Sincerity isn't what God requires. I can't hear you. Amen. You say, Brother Tony, you know, Brother Hughes is so sincere. What do I care? Amen. God don't care about it. Amen. Sincerity is not what God requires. Sincerity is all right, but that's not enough. Perhaps tonight we'll go down into the Ganges River. Watch those mothers with them little black babies. Sticking them into the alligators. And them squash them to death. In their mouth. Sacrificing to God. That's sincerity. How they make sacrifices and everything, very deep, sincere, but still that's not salvation. Sincerity has nothing to do with it. Many times the heathens who cut themselves and lance themselves and way deep than anything you ever seen acted in Christianity. Why? Christianity will hardly walk across the street to a revival. That's right. But then people will do anything. Even sacrifice their children to their lives. But that's it. Sincerity doesn't spell it. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. So sincerity is a way that seemeth right to a man. But the end thereof is the way of death. Yeah. Amen. He's so sincere. That's a sincere church. That's a sincere. What do I care if God don't care about it? Amen. Notice. Here comes them vines up. Let's just follow them two spirits now. The first thing you know, we will see them. The first in the ark, there was the dove and there was a crow. There is the true and false vine again. He's going to tell you something else about this. Another quality of the false vine. Both of them was birds. Noted in the same lodge, they came under Noah. They came in the same ark. They came under the same tree pole. They came under, is that right? Okay, now watch. There was a dove and there was a crow. Both of them was birds. Okay? But two different species now. So that's mixed multitude there. Now they're going to divide. How are you going to tell the difference? One could fly just the same as the other one was. Both set on the same roost. Perhaps on the same floor. On the same, what? The mixed multitude. You see? Both of them, birds. One could fly where the one was. But one of them was the spirit of Christ. The other one was the Antichrist. The only way you can tell them was test their diet. Why couldn't you stay where you were? You got a different diet from those crows. Yes, test their what? Diet. So here, right in the as it was in the days of Noah, you're going to find mixed multitude in the same ark. Through a same prophet. I can't hear you.
Amen.
Then there's separation when it comes what one could eat and what the other one could eat.
Amen.
What one could rest upon, the other one's foot couldn't rest upon.
Amen.
All right. Here again. Amen. But I want you to show you something. You can put the dead carcass out in the field and a dove won't go near it. A dove will sit there here and eat wheat. But that crow sits over there and eat the carcass and come over and eat the wheat too. Just exactly. So you have to watch that fellow. That's why, you know, I see people, they want to come and sit here and pick a little. They don't want to go by Hughes. They don't want to go by this one. And they can eat this and eat that even though that is not that. What is that? Something wrong with that conversion. They don't have enough sense to know the difference in two different kind of gospel.
Amen.
I'm not saying that. Is he saying that?
That's right. Amen.
Why can't we go over here? Why can't we go visiting churches? Why can't we go do this? You think the dove is going to go roost somewhere where it ain't? How is it going to happen? Aren't we supposed to be one? Aren't we supposed to love them? Remember the tricks in Balaam when they went to the Nicaea Council? Aren't we supposed to love them? How are we going to help test witness to them? Aren't we supposed to be brothers? On your way down, as you keep falling, I'm going to shout out, "How are you doing down there, buddy?" Eating from two tables. Table of the Lord and the table of demons. But the crow that can eat over here and eat the carcass and come over and eat the wheat too. Just exactly. So you have to watch that fellow. See, he's a hypocrite to begin with. So the next thing about a false vine, they're hypocrites. Hypocrites are them you have to be careful with. They are ministers who are going to come and align themselves with us. They say, "Oh, Brother Tony, we see that. Why people can't see that?" Amen. But they could still go and align themselves with all the other crows and eat the crow food too. Because they see no difference. If you are priests of Baal, then they are priests of God. And if you are priests of God, they are priests of Baal. What does the two have to do together? The sense of belonging. You see, you don't see the picture properly. So you have to watch that fellow. See, he's a hypocrite to begin with. See, watch that line coming up. Both of them. See, true and false. We could type it all the way through. Come out in Esau and Jacob. What is it? True and false vine. He's bringing it, the false and true, all the way through now. We further learn that these two vines would grow side by side until the end of the ages when both will come to maturity and harvested. So there must be. Is this harvest time? If this message harvest time? Well then, where's the false vine? Don't ever get in your mind a false vine is them ministers who are living in adultery and, you know, polygamy and all these different. No! That is obvious! False vine is them that have doctrines that work and propagate against the truth.
Amen.
They can't help but kill, lie, jealous. The false vine would not overcome and destroy the true vine, but then neither would the true vine be able to bring the false vine to save a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't, no matter how much truth we have, we can't convert Brother Simmons or Brother Hughes. Or Brother Shem, or Brother Green.
Amen.
You can't do it. If they are false vine, nothing you can do to convert them.
Amen.
Now, I know some of you believe you can. I know I can. I've been trying for years. But I would like, how many would like to evangelize the world? Wouldn't like to? I would like for you to start going back to those churches. And try to bring them into a saving grace. After all, you say, "Brother Tony, you don't know until you tried." Well, I tried. Now the question about it is, are you going to try? You guys don't want to, you don't want a challenge, man. I thought you guys want a challenge. Now, I said a moment ago, that a false vine came into full fruition in this age. You believe that? Her fruit was mature and ripe. That's correct. The evil-spirited church, full of iniquity. I can't hear you. Shem know these truths. He know he's got no answer for it. Green doesn't know a hill of beans. But this evil-spirited church, full of iniquity, will be revealed as a mustard seed that grew into a tree wherein lodged the fowls of the air. And her head will be the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. So who is Hugh's head? Who's Shem's head? Where are they getting their inspiration from? Their doctrine. Why are they fighting these truths? What is making them fight it? Who's inspiring them to do it? You know, the biggest story that ever was told, was the biggest lie that ever was told, was one that got a whole lot of truth in it. Well, there you go. You need this message to tell a lie. I can't hear you. Amen. Now, the biggest lie was ever told was what was Satan told Eve. See, it had a whole lot of truth in it. Now, Satan didn't really tell it directly. He told it through the preacher. Message preacher, impersonating a preacher. And now you come along and say something that's just really right straight out a lie. Why? You wouldn't believe that. You know better. But when it comes to a place where it's got about 99% truth and 1% lie, that's the deceiving type. That's the kind you have to watch. It's them kind. And that's just what the devil's good at. He told Eve everything true but one thing. See? He said, now you don't know what's right and wrong. You don't know good from evil. And now if you'll take this fruit, see, your eyes will be open and you'll know what is right and wrong. And you'll be wise. You'll know like God. Well, that's true. That's exactly. All that was the truth. But she said, God said we will die. And he said, oh, surely you won't die. And he persuaded. That's what preaching does. Preaching is preached so that he can persuade. I can persuade you. He persuaded her. Now, that's where the lie come. Now, we can preach all around everything. Now, watch carefully. Now, we can preach all around everything and leave off the main fundamental root of it. The main fundamental root. What is the main fundamental root of us message? The unveiling of God. Who God is. Who is this mighty God unveiled? Amen? Amen? Yes. I can't hear you. Yes. Christ revealing his own word.
Amen.
Is that right? That's the fundamental root. Is that the real heart of our message? It's Godhead.
Amen.
And the last days they will know their God. And I will give them a heart to mourn me that I am Jehovah. And there shall be my people and I will be their God. And there's where the lie comes. So the lie comes is by avoiding. We can preach all around everything and leave off the main fundamental root of it. And there's where the lie comes. See, there's where the trouble comes. I'd like to go to 2 John chapter 1 and the 9th verse. I want to show you how devious this thing is. A couple more minutes, Sister Jones. I'm almost coming to an end. No, it's been long. Watch carefully. Whosoever transgresseth and abided not in the doctrine of Christ had not God. And he that abided in the doctrine of Christ had both Father and the Son. So hit the word transgresseth and let's give you an understanding of what that word means. That word transgress means to go by the side off. Without touching the main fundamental thing that you need. To go past or pass over without touching a thing. To overstep, to neglect. Now, I want to ask you, some of you have been in the mess for 20 years. Until you came here, did anybody ever taught you Godhead?
No.
Did anybody ever taught you marriage and divorce?
No.
Indwelling?
No.
Appearing and coming?
No.
Well, then what was happening for that man? Transgressing. He was transgressing. You see, one man told me from, he goes to Donnie Reagan Church. He said, my pastor don't get involved in no controversial thing. I think we were going to marry Brother John or somebody. I think it was John. My pastor, don't get involved in no controversial thing. I said, well, that's why in the first marriage verse said, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. It's not here for you to keep a perfect record of a pastor. You got to get your hand. That's what you're put here for, people's trouble. That's what we're put here for difficult situations. Not to say I don't get involved. See, that is how you become popular, not getting involved. people's opinion, you see. So to go past as to turn aside from, to depart, to leave, to turn from, one who abandons his trust. Now go back to the part, to the message, that quote. The scripture, I mean, right there. Whosoever transgresseth goes wrong and doesn't continue. The word abide means to continue in the doctrine of Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ today? The seven thunders. So there can be preachers, and they're going around it, and the Bible said, that's the biggest lie there is. They'll go around everything, but they wouldn't tell you the real, true fundamental. Let's read the quote now and see what's a liar. Go back to the quote. Let's read that quote again. Come down. Not this one message, the other one. Right there. Okay, now watch carefully. But she said, God said we'll die. Oh, surely you won't die. And he persuaded her. That's where the lie come. Now we can preach. Is that preachers he talking about? Yeah. All around everything and leave off the main fundamental root of it. And there's where the lie comes. See how that prophet is perfect? They don't have God. If they can do that, they don't have God. Because this gene is made to receive the word for the hour. And not to be confused by it, but to thoroughly understand it. Amen. That's the promise of the word and the gene for the hour. You see? See, there's where the trouble comes. God likens his church to a vine. I am the vine, the branches. So I am God, the Holy Spirit. The life of Christ is the vine. The branches is the fivefold ministry, or the pastors, you would say. And then the fruit that comes from there becomes you. And therefore, if you have a false vine, which is the false life that come from Judas, religious, betrayer, never got the birth as a minister, then that life will come to a false branch, a grafted in branch, and they will produce false birth, calling themselves message believers. And if the vine of the grape, it bears forth the grape. Now you might take a tree, it looks like it's got a sycamore bark on it, and bear apples. I don't care what kind of bark it looks like, it's an apple tree to me, because it's producing apples. Shows that the life of the tree is apple tree, and it bears apple. No matter how you're dressed or what you do, as long as you bear the fruit of the Spirit, it shows the Spirit of Christ, it shows the Spirit's in you. And if I tell you the Holy Ghost is in me, you expect me to do the work of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit did when it was here on earth. Cause the vine will always reduce what the life of the vine is. Jesus said, by their fruit. Now, what was their fruit again? Their teaching. You shall know them. Right there. Their fruit. You shall know them. So, you have the mixed multitudes. You have the false vine. You have the false branch. You have the false fruit. The false root is the false teaching. What can be called the people, the word becoming flesh. The false word, the false church. The false branch is the false ministry. If it doesn't bring forth, he'll hew them, cut them and throw them in the fire. Then you have the false vine, it's the life of Judas or the life of Satan. Then you have false teaching. False teaching or false teachers. You have grievous wolves, wolves in sheep clothing. These are impersonator and impersonations. Then you have the crow, the false dove. The crow is a hypocrite. False apostles, they have antichrist. All of these are working to produce the false vine. Can we go up? Is that it? All right. Friends, what we show you here with one nation, Trinidad, is an all nation. All these men passing away, Coleman, Vail, Jenkins, and the others that have passed away, major ones, Paul Jones, Junior Jackson, over the period of time. These men are all off the scene. I don't know when and how, but I do know this. There's a change that is happening. We see the rise of the Antichrist. Believe the sign is Antichrist to the core. Coleman, Brother Collins' grandson, Antichrist to the core. Jeff Jenkins, Antichrist to the core. They're rising up to work against this prophet, against his message, against his ministry. And now, amongst us and ourselves, now the false vine is rising up to kill now, to hate and to kill those who are carrying these truth, the true Jesus, the true gospel, the true birth. What is it? It's a changing of the gods. It is a turning of a corner. And I hope that you can see and understand that we are in spiritual warfare more than ever. God bless you. God cause his face to shine upon you. Give you strength. Let us stand. I want to remember the believers in Cape Town and Durban. I'm remembering to pray for Brother Hine, who is going to be leaving Namibia for another part of the country of Africa. There, he's going to present these truths to a group in that city and to help establish them, to help ground, to set them up to see if a work can be started. I was planning to leave tomorrow to leave for Africa, but I've got so much irons in the fire, and I just felt led at this time to stay and do all I can here with you. So if there's any needs around us that we need to work with, I need to work with my officers a little bit more. They need to take more responsibility, work among themselves a lot closer, a lot more communication. And so it's maybe sometime in January, the Lord willing. Amen? So you'll be stuck with me for the next couple of while. And I with you. God bless you, Brother Jones. I want to say a little note here to Sister Rishma from Trinidad, who wrote me a note, knowing that I was kind of, we all felt really bad for Brother Louis and the believers there and the tragedy that struck. And she wrote me some words of great wisdom and comfort. And I'm wondering where she got all that wisdom from. But we are so thankful for her caring for us and those words of encouragement. And remembering Sister Jill's sister, who just pressure became high and broke a blood vessel in her eye, that the Lord will work and help her and also draw her close to himself. As we get older, we feel our mortality. Sometimes that's the best time to come to God. God bless you all, Brother Jones.
And also, like I said, remember Brother Chris's daughter. Amen. She had the surgeries. On the road to Emmaus, three men walked that way. As they reached their destination, the two men begged the third to stay. And as they talked together, breaking bread and pouring wine, I finally now realized the significance of his sign. How can he desire to have fellowship with me? There must be something more within that only he can see. I pray, dear Lord, please take my life. I give it all to thee. Grant that every day you commune with me. How can he desire?